Greetings and God bless you. We are the generals and the boss prophets, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly word of supernatural empowerment.
We decree that by the power of God, that what you are about to hear will shift you into your new season. Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
That he has for you. So God's way is, if you exalt yourself, you will be abased or brought low. If you think high of yourself and you're trying to boast on yourself, God will abase you. He will bring you low. But the way it works with the Lord is, if you humble yourself, you shall be exalted or elevated higher. Pride is what will keep you out of your promised land. That is what God planned for you. So when God has a promised land for you, of milk and honey, and he wants to bring you out and give you a whole bunch of, you know, he want to meet your needs. I'm telling you, finances, health, and money, and cars. And not that it's about that, but he wants to bless you. He wants to give that to you. God would cause you to miss it or delay it. So once God bless you, there's a temptation to forget, because when he begins to bless you, like I said before, when I use that example of Lucifer, he's just a container of stones. But when God begins to bless him by calling him in, if people don't understand, there was a father-son relationship when it was Lucifer and God in heaven. He was an archangel, but he was someone dear, because God loves worship. So Lucifer was created somewhere dear to the Lord's heart. The Bible even says that in 1 John 3:1, how God called Lucifer the son of the morning. That's a title of endearment, son of the morning. When God begins to call you son of something, and when God begins to give you a special title like that, there is adornment, there's endearment right there. So when you have that type of relationship with God, and you begin to get beside yourself, and you forget that God created you with these stones, and the only reason why you sparkle and bright is because of his glory, then you get beside yourself and you think it's your own glory that's making you bright. That's when you and God begin to have it out. And that's the same thing with us. He wants to get us to a point where we're humble enough so that when he begins to make us great and begin to elevate us in the glory of God, we're moving out, we're preaching, we're flying, we're going overseas, people are being saved. We're not going to forget about God and that he is the giver of blessings. So that's why sometimes God has to bring us so low, which brings me even to my next point, how, you know, God's divine plan is to really delete pride out of us, because we're born into a sinful world. We're born into sin until we are redeemed and we repent and ask the Lord to be the Savior of our life. So when we do that, God wants to send us into the wilderness. Now, some of you all may know about the wilderness. I'm going to teach on the wilderness in time to come to really break down what does the wilderness do, the purpose of the wilderness, what we are supposed to think, say, and act while we're in the wilderness, so that we can get an appreciation of the wilderness experience. The wilderness experience is not a good, happy time. But the ultimate result when we exit out of pride, exit out of the wilderness, is that we will be now more humble. So a lot of times,
amen,
he will send us through the wilderness so that we can get out of pride.
Yes.
So the way, because a lot of people have went into the wilderness already before us, our ancestors. He used Moses. Moses knew God's way, while the children of Israel only knew God's act. So Moses was very, very close to God. He knew God's ways, but the children of Israel only knew the acts of God. And this was the whole process to bring humility to the children of Israel so that they can get to know him, and that they would now get to know and appreciate God with a personal relationship, and not just complaining when God did something and did not do it the next time. So God will lead us through the wilderness so that we can be or get rid of pride. So how do we get rid of pride? I've already told you there are 8 facts or 8 actions that will produce the characteristic of humility. But there's also a way that you can abominate pride. The way that you can abominate pride is by, number one, magnifying the answer. You don't magnify the problem. So what am I saying here? One of the ways that you can kill pride is never to give more attention to sin, but always give more attention to that that can eradicate sin, that that can cover the sin with his blood, and that is Jesus. So you got to know how to magnify the Lord in all things. When you have, and this is when you're, this is for people who are believers already. This is for people who are believers already. When you see that there's a spirit of pride trying to overtake you, whether it's in your life, whether it's in your walk with Christ, whether it's even in your lustful desires, whatever it is, you can't give any type of glory or attention to it. You got to always seek the Lord for it. Give more attention to that of the Lord. So this is why, honestly, we don't hear much teaching on pride, because, especially in the church, because there's no depth to it. The only thing we hear is that if you have pride, get rid of it. Pray. Seek the Lord. But there's no in-depth study on how to really get rid of pride and why is it so important that we got to get rid of it. So we got to understand that until we get right in the church being the people, we are the church. It's in us. But until we get pride under subjection, and we start to deal with it in humility, we don't become boastful on it, because the very first time I talked about this, I talked about how when we have certain things that we have pride in, we like to brag on it. Like some of us may brag about how good we used to fight, how we used to put paws on people, how you got a flip tongue and you used to cut people down, or how you used to go off on anybody that stepped in front of you and they were scared of you because they didn't want to get their feelings hurt, all of that type of stuff. God is saying that's not how we deal with it in humility. But how you deal with it in humility is when you go before the Lord and you say, God, okay, I got this issue with my temper. I got this issue with my flesh. I got this issue where I'm desiring married men or desiring married women. Or, Lord, you see, I got this issue of homosexuality. All of this stuff, I need to be delivered. And then that's when the grace of God can cover you, because you are now to the throne and you think they need your help. That's when the grace of God comes and covers you. Because what happens is if you go and you're saying that you're living for the Lord and you're praying, but you're not dealing with the spirit of pride in your life in humility, what the spirit of pride does, it comes and it now rejects the grace of God that would have been on your life if you would have asked or dealt with this in humility. The spirit of pride is very crafty. It's very wise. It is one of the most, it is the most prevalent and the leader of weapons that the enemy uses. He sends out pride first, because what it does, it goes out, it assesses, it dismantles, and then it leaves the door open there for other sins to come in. As soon as you start living and doing stuff that you want to do and not being obedient to the perfect will of God and not being obedient to sanctification and righteousness, and you're doing wrong, if you know you're doing wrong, you open up yourself now to even bigger and greater demons. They say, especially if you have been saved and you backslide, you bring now back seven more demons, basically. You got to confess, because that's how pride operates. You say, okay, good, you're honoring, you're disobedient to the word of God, now I'm coming in and I'm bringing seven more with me. So now if you just, you know, before you got saved, dealt with alcohol and maybe womanizing, now that you have backslide again, he said, okay, come on, alcohol and womanizing, but now let's bring in homosexuality. Let's bring in temper. Let's bring in anger. Let's bring in bitterness. And now you got more things that you got to deal with, because you chose to, number one, get out of the presence of God, because that's all it takes. And it don't take being out the presence of God for 3-6 months. No, if you miss even just one prayer time, two prayer times, if you miss a couple of days of prayer and being with the Lord, you are putting yourself out there for the spirit of pride to creep in, because you're not right in his presence. This isn't a thing where, oh, I, you know, that's for people who don't pray for a whole year. No, no, no. That's for people, because it depends on the person. Some people need to be before the Lord a lot longer than a lot of others. We all need to be before the Lord. But you know yourself. You know what you're battling with. You know your limits. And in the grace of God, is your refuge. That's when the Lord comes and strengthens you with the temptations, with a lot of stuff that you're dealing with. And if you miss a day and 2 days, don't you know the enemy is watching your prayer life too? He know how long you really gave God some time. He know he's been studying you. You don't know your family. Some of you all may not know your dad, may not know your mom, may not know your aunties, but oh boy, Satan knows. He knows exactly what he has put in your bloodline. He knows exactly what's accessible to you. That's why we can't play or give room to the enemy, because he knows us. It's not for us to live in fear, but it's also for us to be wise, because we are soldiers. This is a war. So we got to know our enemy, and we got to know that God wants us to be whole. He wants us to walk like him, talking about making our feet like hinds feet. We got to be able to put our feet in the same footprint of that of God that has gone before us. And so Jesus is only coming back to what looks like to him a glorious church. He wants to see his reflection and image in you. The glory of God is the actual manifest presence of God. So you got to understand that just because people can preach, just because people have gifts, just because people can lay hands and they're delivered, they're healed, it does not mean that, you know, and this is sad because people usually go out their naked eye. Oh, they're so great and powerful. Oh, God is on their life. But don't you know people can operate and still, like I told you before, and still have the spirit of pride? You don't know. That's why we got to discern the spirit. That's why we got to have discernment, because a lot of people are falling into the trap, because the enemy has his own prophets. The enemy has his own evangelists. The enemy has his own pastors that he has, that he's raising up, and they're teaching erroneous doctrine, or they're prophesying, or they're doing things contrary. And they're, you know, there are people out there that go out there, they can say the name of Jesus, they can lay hands, people are being healed, but behind the scenes, before they came out, they just did a spell or a ritual or a ceremony, you know, offering up a sacrifice to Satan. But when it goes out, because we don't discern the spirit, when they come out and they lay hands, you see people getting healed, you're like, that got to be for the Lord. But understand this, the Satan has power as well. He was anointed in heaven. When he got kicked out of heaven, God did not take that anointing away. That's why Jesus acknowledges him as the Prince of Persia. He didn't dethrone him. He didn't take away his anointing. He gave him the atmosphere, the second heaven. That's why we tell you all Jesus is a gentleman. He doesn't put on us what we don't want. He's saying it's yours. If you want it, you can have dominion. I died. I was the perfect sacrifice. But if nobody is stepping up to the task and taking dominion, who do you think is going to have dominion now? Who do you think is going to keep the crown? Who do you think is going to still rule the air? Satan is. So we got to be able, but we can't fight with Satan if we got part of his spirit in us. We can't dethrone the prince of the air if we still have his spirit in us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You're talking to Satan. Yes, you want to have, you know, a control or authority over the air or over a certain area. You got to denounce one of his spirits that may be operating in your life, which is pride. It's hard to rebuke the spirit of somebody else and the spirit is in you.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
That's true.
That's right.
Amen. The only reason why you can rebuke a spirit, the only reason why you can tell the spirit to come out of another person, is because you have dominion over it. It's not subject in your own life.
Yeah.
So we got to be able to now search ourselves and get to a point where pride is not a stronghold on us. Pride is not a stronghold on us. And why do I keep saying stronghold? Because the Lord tells us, even in Scripture, that pride is a issue, and it's also a demon, and it holds chains over us like a strong man. And I'm going to tell you this, because this is why it's so important, because we don't think of it as this deep, but it really is. It's so strategic. So we understand up to this point that pride was the original sin. We got that covered. And it was fathered by Satan. So he fell from heaven by pride in the beginning. So if Satan father pride, then you can see pride is a servant in the kingdom of darkness. So pride is under the authority of a king in the kingdom of hell. Now,
come on, teach.
Now we're going to get into, because this is something new, maybe for a lot of you all. When we start to talk about Leviathan, or however you want to say it, I just say Leviathan. Leviathan is the strong man over all the children of pride. And it's revealed to us, Job 41:34. This scripture tells us who Leviathan is and what authority he has. So let's talk about a strong man. We always pray, and Lord, we bind up the strong man. But let's really understand what we're praying. A strong man is a master or a ruler of a house or fort, and usually refers to as a prince or king. So understand that a prince is a strong man over a principality, while a king is a ruler or a strong man as well over a kingdom. So you have a strong man over a principality, while a king, who can also be called a strong man, is over a kingdom. There are different strong men. There are so many different strong men, people of God. And each of them carries different spiritual weight, ranks, and authority. So some strong men are stronger than others. So, for instance, a strong man who carries the rank of a king is greater in strength, power, authority, and rank than a strong man who carries the rank of a prince.
That's
so
right.
Jesus even instructs us. He says the only way that we can overcome a strong man is that if we first bind him, and then we can spoil the goods in his house. That's what it says in Matthew 12:29. Or else, how can one enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? So Jesus has given us instructions on how to overcome a strong man. The first step is to bind him. So if we want to overcome pride, we must first bind the strong man of Leviathan, who is over him. So Leviathan, the Lord has promised in Isaiah 27:1 to punish Leviathan and slay him with his majesty's great strong sword. So remember, Jesus only deals with the strong man, but we can bind him. So let's look at the scripture. Job 41:34, he beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. He was talking about Leviathan, Job 1. He is the king over all children of pride. Now, it says he beholdeth all high things. That is prideful manifestation. So all high things that are not of the Lord are of pride and prideful manifestation. He is a king over all the children of pride. This means Leviathan is the strong man or ruler over all people who are prideful and all of those influenced by pride. So how can you be free? If you are saved, this is for the saved people already. If you're already saved, you've been redeemed, your sins have been forgiven. If you're already saved and this is happening and you know that there's pride in your life, there's pride in my life, of course, doing this, there's no way that the messenger cannot see how the Lord is showing things in my life, as well as apostles' life, as well as everybody on this line. There is pride. I would be prideful to tell you I have no pride, because there's always a constant attack in any area. But I strive daily to work on my salvation, to be broken, to say, Lord, I am nothing, so that I can get rid of this. But he's saying one of the ways that you can get rid of pride or be free of pride is the first step for you is to bind Leviathan, the ruler, the king over pride. You can do this because Jesus has made you an heir and son to the kingdom of God and given you authority and power on earth to bind or loose. He then promised, if you loose a bond, it shall be done likewise in heaven. We know that to be true in Matthew 18:18, where it says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So if you are saved, you have the power to bind the strong man that's trying to now put you in chains. Why do I say change? Because Psalm 73 and 6 talks about this. Psalm 73 and 6, I repeat it for people who are writing it down. Psalm 73 and 6, it says, therefore pride compasses them about as a chain. Therefore, pride compasses them about as a chain. This scripture is saying pride has a type of stronghold on different people as if they are bound in chains. This is how deep it is, people of God. Pride comes to, that's why I said pride goes before destruction. Pride got to put its hooks in you. Pride got to put its ugly, nasty hooks in you, and it has to bind you in chains so that you can become a prisoner, a partaker of its nasty fruit, so that it can lead you to destruction. Because the enemy knows that if he can get you in pride, he can bound you, he can chain you, he can make you blind, he can make you act like a fool, he can make you now miss your blessings. What did I say? How you can, how pride hinders your blessings, it hinders you from receiving any truth, any knowledge, any revelation. He knows that without knowledge, without revelation, you are dumb, you are in bliss, you are now open and exposed. With pride cloaked upon you, you now resist the grace of God. Pride is a rejection or resistance of anything that is holy. And if you are trying to do things for the Lord, don't you know you're setting yourself up for failure if you don't deal with the spirit of pride? This is why it's so important that we acknowledge and really examine ourselves daily and see any type of pride in us, doesn't matter what area, in the church, out of the church, we are to now go forward in war to now get that nasty spirit out of us or from upon us. Now, for people on the line, if you're not saved, you don't know that you're saved, God is saying, number one, that if you become saved, if you become and you receive him as the Lord and Savior of your life, he said you will enter into his kingdom. The Bible says those who are in the world and are not saved are controlled and are under the influence of the prince of the power of the air. This means that if you are not saved, then you have no authority. See, because what I just said before, you have authority to loose and bind, but if you're not saved, you have no authority over this influence in the kingdom of darkness. You have no way on your own of combating this onset. Therefore, you need Jesus, who is the King of Kings, to deliver you. Jesus' authority and power, the Bible says, is far above all principalities, powers, dominions, rulers, kings, and their kingdoms and their princes, and all might in the world. He's over it all. He's over the unseen one, which is Lucifer, which is now Satan. His name changed when he fell, Satan. So there's no authority on earth, in heaven or in hell, besides God the Father. So you need to be able to now ask yourself, if you don't want to be a product and under the influence of the prince of the power of the air, then you need to come to know the Lord in the pardoning of your sin. So that the Lord can now give you this authority, so that the Lord can now fight for you on your behalf, so that you don't have to be a product of all of this sin and all of this pride. So it behooves you, if you don't even know that you are saved, you know, sometimes people, you ask them, are you saved? And they'll say, well, I don't know. I think I am. You want to be certain. So we're going to give an opportunity at the end of this line, too, if people are on the line, because there's a lot of people, only a few people may speak up, but there'll be a lot of times more people on the line, they just sit quietly. So hopefully this is touching you and this is bringing some revelation to your thought process, and you're saying, you know what, I need the Lord. I want to be a part of this kingdom act. I don't want to be a part of, be a pawn with the influence of the prince of the power of the air. I want to be my own person. I want to be able to live for the Lord and not be manipulated by the by Satan. So people of God, I want to just encourage you because I'm about to round up. There was more stuff as well. I know I'm saying there's always more. There's always more. But I wanted to just encourage you to understand that Pride is a fearing spirit. To think that you are more than what you are. To think that you have gotten yourself this accomplishment or this achievement is already setting yourself as an enemy of God. Because the Lord said he will share his glory with no one. So with that being said, let's say you're on the journey of now eradicating pride out your life, and now you want to reach humility. And I gave you already 8 actions that will produce the characteristics of humility. But now you're walking in humility, and you know that there's room for more. I mentioned and I said I was going to share this on today. There are different degrees of humility. Different degrees of humility. I'm just going to list 7. I rounded it all up to 7 degrees of humility. The first degree of humility is, number one, knowing yourself to be a sinner and a miserable creature. I know that sounds harsh. I know that does, but it's the truth. You got to first know yourself to be a sinner and a miserable creature. But Galatians 6:3 already tells us, it confirms it in the Word. It says, if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So that was a warning already. Even though we may have, I'm just speaking in the future, 100 books that we've authored, we have 7 worship CDs that we've produced, we are now a name brand, you still got to think of yourself as nothing and that you are a sinner that is saved by grace. So that's the first level of humility. So you say, well, I already got that Pastor April. I already know that. I come to the Lord repenting every day, knowing that I've done something probably that, you know, offended the Holy Spirit. I know that it's only because of His grace that I'm saved. So you got that. So then let me say then there's a second degree. The second degree of humility consists in suffering contempt with patience. What am I saying? That means when you are going through and it's a state of suffering, I talked about what is suffering to the definitions of all of that. When you're suffering, you need to have contempt with patience. You need to have patience in your suffering. You can't be anxious. You got to take well all that shall happen to you, no matter how great the pain, whatever it may cost, you have to bear it with patience and humility. I know you say, but Pastor April, I have been in this situation for a long time. I've been in this thing for years. I've been waiting patiently. I'm still giving God the glory, but I'm just tired. I'm ready to just move up and do what I need to do. I'm ready to move. I'm ready to get up out of here. I'm ready to go. But God is saying, you got to bear it until I release you. So then what if you're telling me, Pastor April, well, I've been in this thing for 6 years, and I'm content. I'm past that. Well, let's go to the third degree. The third degree of humility consists in acknowledging your worthlessness and in identifying yourself like with the prodigal son in the Bible, who was moved to say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. That's in Luke 15:18-19. You got to see, and it kind of goes with the first degree, you got to see yourself worthless. You got to see yourself, you know, like you're a prodigal son. You got to become so low in this thing. And I know this is probably not maybe sitting right with some people because it's kind of ripping you of any type of confidence you probably had. But I'm going to go somewhere with this. It's important that you see yourself so low because God has a plan for you when you go low. So let me get to the fourth degree of humility. The fourth degree of humility consists of wanting, and I'm repeating that on purpose. You have a desire for wanting your neighbors. Who are your neighbors? Anybody, your sisters and brothers in Christ, your literal neighbors who live next to you, your family members, wanting your neighbors to believe for you to be insignificant and unimportant.
We know this word has supernaturally empowered you for this week. Now is the time to place your angels on an assignment. Yes, your angels. It is time to take authority and now decree what you want to manifest for you and your family on this week. Plant your seed in supernatural fertile ground today.
and you activate this word and make it supernaturally manifest by sowing your money seeds. The more you sow, the more miracles will begin to flow into your hands. Your palms will be filled up with overflow by visiting our website at www.kci.world.
That's www.kci.world, not .org, not .com, for we are worldwide, where there is always something supernaturally happening. Again, that's www.kci.world. We are speaking life over you and your family, and we are excited about your now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name. This has been your weekly word of supernatural empowerment from the Generals.